It was very early. Very early. In the case of that first Easter, it was still dark. Unlike today, where the sun is beaming in right over to this part of the sanctuary. Y'all might want to sit in a different place. It's okay. Or do you like looking right here directly into the sun? You're like, so you're squinting the whole time. So I think that you're concentrating very hard and about to ask a question. There's just like that. Or you don't like it. So I'm not sure what it is. But if you want to stay there, you can. But you could all... But it was still dark. That's what the scriptures say. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. The stone had been rolled away. And scared and confused, she went to Peter and John. That's the disciple whom Jesus loved. We know that as John. She told them that they had taken Jesus and she didn't know where he was. Peter and John ran to the tomb. They found the linen wrappings there. The wrapping that had been on Jesus' head was apart from the other wrappings, rolled up neatly and sitting alone. They went back to their homes. Mary stayed and wept. She saw two angels. They asked her why she was weeping, and she said it was because she didn't know what had happened to Jesus. Then Jesus, without Mary recognizing who he was, asked her why she was weeping and whom she was looking for. And Mary asked him to tell her where Jesus' body was. Then Jesus called out Mary's name. Mary recognized Jesus, and she was thrilled and apparently tried to hug him. And Jesus told Mary that she shouldn't hold on to him, but rather she should go and tell the disciples. She went and told the disciples that she had seen Jesus along with all she had experienced. That, what I just said there, is almost everything from this morning's Easter Bible reading, recounting the events from the Gospel of John with the morning of Jesus' resurrection. And I skipped a couple parts. They're parts that we don't normally pay really close attention to. Now, let's see, it's a little quiz. What parts did I skip?
I don't know, I wasn't really paying attention.
Anyone? Well, it went into the tomb, but there's another part in there. It seems as if it's a throwaway, but we're not throwing it away today. Here it is. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in and saw the linen wrappings. This is the part you were talking about, Debbie. They were lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb and saw the linen wrappings lying there. And the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in the place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. So what part did I skip?
The
radio. Yeah, the radio. Oh, there, someone looked at the title of the sermon. Yay. So here's the story about the resurrection, and that is huge, right? There's nothing small about the resurrection. And somehow it was important enough to talk about one disciple getting to the tomb before another one. And not just in passing, but really mentioning it three times. I thought it was twice, but you look at it, and the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Then he bent down, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came. There's another thing, like, oh, look, Simon Peter got there after. And then the third time, then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. So three times, this competition. Come on, it's not all about competition, is it? Some of you are thinking, of course it's all about competition. It's about who wins. How many of you are competitive folk? You like to win? How many of you playing a card game at home? Did you have anyone play games in the last couple days at home? Or, okay, in the last couple of weeks. So you're playing a game, and when you lose, how do you feel? Sad? Yeah. Does anyone go to the length of, you know, getting up and sort of pushing the chair and walking out of the room when you lose? Anyone? I know people that do that, even at, you know, non-competitive games. But they're competitive games. Oh, is that, Wayne, are you the competitive one? You like to win. Oh, Tanner too. Okay. So, I'm here saying it's not all about competition. And some people are thinking, of course it's all about competition. There is more competition in the Bible than just this particular race. Like in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it." Well, in Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." That's not so much about the winner and the loser, but the first one is about really a winner. You don't mention the loser, but it says win. This one says run hard. But it's not always about who wins. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul, when he is older, probably in jail and thinking of his last days, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." What's a race that the goal for many participants is to finish? Marathon. Yeah. Now, there is a winner in the marathon, but there's always, you know, just to finish. Although for the highly competitive, just to finish isn't always as good. It's kind of like when Jim Carrey came up at the Academy Awards a few years ago, and he got up and he said, "It's a privilege just to be..." And he wasn't nominated. So it's, you know how people say it was great just to be nominated, but they didn't win? Yeah, no, they're upset. They're not thrilled to be nominated. They're upset that they didn't win. But Paul, I think Paul's competitive. He's the one that wrote, "Don't you know that all the in the race all runners compete, but only one wins?" But then Paul says something else in Galatians 5:26, says that the endless pursuit of winning can be harmful. He says, "Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another." So he's saying, run the race to win it. Oh, but let's not go too far. But I think the kind of competition that I think would be fun to participate in, good to participate in, I can't imagine any poor sportsmanship when it comes to a competition like this. It's from Romans 12, 9 and 10. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection." And here it comes. "Outdo one another in showing honor." That's it. It's a competition. Who can show the most honor? Although I don't think that "in your face I did more honor on you than you did on me" is really the response if you outdid someone in showing honor, right? Can you imagine doing that? Any competitive people, if you were doing honor, you would say that? Tanner? No, okay. So Peter and John, they ran to the tomb. John got there first. We know that. It says it three times, really. So good for John. Maybe that's all that we're supposed to say. Oh, look, John ran faster. Maybe he was younger than Peter. I don't know. "In your face. I got to the tomb first." Do you think that John said that? It's not written. And the writers probably wouldn't have put something that much in there. But there might have been some trash talking, because three times in there, you can imagine John's like, "So Pete, where you been?" Might have been something like that. "I didn't go in. I waited for you. I had time to take a nap because it's so early." I don't know, maybe. No, I don't think that works, though. I don't think that saying that, "Oh, in your face," or trash talking when you get to the tomb first. We're probably not going to do that. And I don't know that trash talking is such a good thing. I know it's fun sometimes when you win, but there's good winning and not good winning. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's a good competition. So for some, for many of you, competition is fun. For others, not so much. I don't like family games where people get mad. So I'm usually the one that sits there and is like, "Okay, I won, I didn't win, I don't care." And that's okay. Some people thrive on it, though. Other people probably wish that competition didn't exist. Although I think competition is secondary. Not that it shouldn't exist, and I think it's a good thing. Attending to one another, I've used this term so many times, attending to one another is really what we're about. That's the outdo one another in showing honor, recognizing that everyone's important. Competition is a way to strive to be better. I know that in competition you push yourself to go faster or to do something better. Not better than anyone else, but just to be a better you. You hear all the time about personal bests. And I know that someone's always going to be the best in a particular athletic competition or a speech competition. In my family, it's always the show choir competitions. There's always going to be a choir that scores the highest, but not at the expense of every other choir, even though one is said, you know, you get the highest scores, you win. But everyone else got really good scores too, and they just didn't get the first prize trophy. But they weren't defeated, although we use those terms too. They won and defeated so-and-so and so-and-so. Competition. It's a way to strive to be a better you. So on this Easter morning, when we learned that John reached the tomb first, let's remember the words of Paul. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in living love. That's this morning's Easter message. So let's get on with the race. Amen.